We're going to do a lesson that I'm not going to be real caring about formality and all of that with it through this 25 pages I wrote. But I want you to know that it's my judgment that people are hurting more than we've seen in a long time. It's not people, you know, just falling apart. But the last couple of years, when we had the COVID and all of that, it just disrupted the whole country. And I don't know what caused that. I'm not smart enough to know that. But if I had my hankering to tell you what I think there was some monkey play under all of that. And it was something to destroy some of this nation. And it's working quite well. Churches are not doing as well as they once did. And it's happening specifically over smaller congregations because people just say, you know, man, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. And I don't want to hear this. And then you have to get in there and you have to do stuff and say things and it melts people. Let me tell you something. You are God's people. I never got the English stuff down. You ain't got a chance without God. We don't have a chance. I want this country to come back to its fervor. I want people to quit trying to get stuff, steal stuff. And it got so bad in part of this thing that people just shot people when they started getting your stuff. Now, you know, I happen to have a gun and a backhoe, but I hadn't buried anybody yet, and I don't want to. The title of this thing is Staying Up When Things Are Down. How many of you have been down about something within the last year? Everybody? Because of discouragement, inner conflict and inconsistency in ourselves and in others, some folks can easily fall into Satan's trap. That's what the world wants. The world wants to follow the world. God's people want to follow God. The Holy Spirit, who lives inside us, by the way, and give us life. We fall into Satan's trap, justifying giving up, which is certainly what he wants us to do. One of the things that happens far too often is those of us who have been around for a while even leave false impressions that someone were to become a Christian, everything in their lives will be better all the way around. I think that's true. I think we have overrun our ability to stay within the principles of the Scripture, speaking God's words instead of ours, and keeping the precepts of God instead of that which we conjure up on our own. One of the things that happens far too often is those of us who have been around a while leave the false impression that if someone wanted to be a Christian, everything in their lives would just be better all the way around. I'm going to tell you, that's a lie. The Scriptures will tell you that there'll be hard times, difficult times. Another issue is that there are people who embrace Christ in baptism simply because they've been expected to do that in the family over the years. And I remember when I got baptized the first time, I was probably 8 or 9. And I'm not saying that that won't work. But what do you know about the work of God at 8 or 9 years old? Now, there's some people that's that smart. I hadn't run against the boast of those yet. In different times in our lives, every one of us have had some serious challenges, yes or no. Some of you have had serious things happen to you. I remember when I was burned so badly and how many times you prayed and asked God to help me get through all of that, and it took a long time. I remember a church who loved me enough that they let me stay home, and other guys in the congregation would do the preaching, and they did that until I got where I could walk and the skin was not falling off of my hands and arms and legs. That's what I like about people who love people. You take care of people when they need taken care of. We've had a lot of things to deal with. It does not matter who we are or where we're from. We're going to have difficulties in the walk with Christ, just as the Scriptures promised. Would you say yes to that? Over the years, most of us have watched people embrace Christ, only to find themselves slowly leaving the flock in slow erosion. Slow erosion. I remember, and I've been here for 39 years, I remember when this floor was full of chairs, and we had to pop up stuff, put metal chairs around just to have enough place for people to sit down. Either all those people died, or they got tired of it. You can get tired of me all you want to. You can spend the rest of your life being tired of me till I croak, but that's not going to change the problem. The problem is within us and our faith in Christ. We're going to have difficulties in this walk. 1 Peter 4:12-16. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that's come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed with His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear it. You think God puts us to the test? Is that beyond God to do that? I doubt it's true, but is there anybody in here in the growing up years ever got spankings? I never had a spanking in my life. I got a whipping. And I mean a whipping. With whatever was available. We need to understand that living for Christ is not an easy walk, but rather it's a lifetime adventure. Because of the evil in the world, it brings much difficulty. It's easy to get discouraged when things don't do the way we imagine they would or should, but we have to remember that every person on this planet is flawed. Every one of you are flawed, starting first with me. I don't get it right. I belong to the one who can get it right. It's easy to get discouraged when things don't go the way we want to go. But here's what it is. There's no perfect person alive on this planet that has ever been better than Jesus Christ. Though we don't want to have imperfection, we have it any way we go. It can come on you at a blink of an eye. How many times have you done things or been doing things and all of a sudden something just kapooey? You know, people have been cooking in the house, have they not? And the lid blow off or something and you got the whole kitchen full of whatever y'all was going to eat? We don't want perfection. If we had it, we'd mess it up. But we have it either way we go. When we first come into Christ, it's easy to become quickly overwhelmed and in some cases very confused. When I was at White's Ferry Road eons of time ago. I can't even tell you how long that's been. But there was this one guy in the preaching school. Every time he learned something new, he went and got baptized. I'm telling you, that was the cleanest guy in that whole thing. He asked me more than 10 times to baptize him. I'm thinking, man, buddy, if you ain't baptized by now, you need to get something else going on in your life. God is not that goofy. God is not goofy at all. It's us who are goofy and do things wrong. The good news is that just like God did for Abraham, listen to me. When he looked up at the stars and he believed God's promises, we too have been credited righteous. How would you like to build a house or have a house built or whatever? Now, as soon as you get that house built, for the most part, the first thing that you get introduced to is the first note. And it's going to be with you for a long time. But you know what? With Jesus Christ, He takes care of us. You and I don't do it right, but we have a God who made it right. Living a life in God isn't always easy because we are flawed and earth-dwelling people. The good news is that just like God did for Abraham when he looked at the stars, y'all remember that when he did that? And believed God's promises. And we too have been credited righteous because we are in the covenant and we are clothed. It's like God just completely clothes us in His righteousness, which means that we are wearing the very same righteousness God wears because it has been imputed to us just as if it was our father of faith, Abraham. You might not know what you got yourself into here. I think that's probably a wrong statement. Probably don't know what you got going for you. Every one of you are going to mess up. I've been teaching you how to mess up for all these years. Do we think we deserve such a gift as this? That means that God has taken our sins completely away. But I messed up. So what? He fixed it where even if you messed up, you can come back. By His grace and His covenant, we're given a gift. When we submitted to be baptized in Christ and took on His name, that's where the big boy came right there. You listen carefully to the familiar verse and let it sink in for us, okay? Philippians chapter 4, 10 to 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed, hungry, or whether living in plenty or want. I would suspect every one of us have had those situations in our life. You ever check in your bank account and realize you didn't have any? We need to ask ourselves if we really believe these words enough to realize God is really on our side. And that no matter what difficulties come on us, God will never forsake His covenant people. But I messed up. What does a covenant do? Puts it right back on you. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never forsake you. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Yes or no? Yeah. Our problems with inconsistency most often comes upon us because we're masters of trying to walk with Christ while at the same time we're trying to handle all of this stuff on our own, and we'll find ourselves being defeated. The best thing to do is follow what God said do, and we don't have to try to fix it ourselves. When difficulties come, and they will come, and they do it often, it's difficult for us to try and get through those tough times. This is why it's imperative that we form a bond with one another. If you don't like me, it's okay. All right? I don't know of anybody in here I don't like. It's just not a good thing to do, but rather it's a critical thing here. Stay in this covenant. I beg you. If you're not in the covenant, get in it. And if you are in it, stay in it. We need to become a people who lean on the experiences and strengths of others while navigating life with the aid of those who have experienced much more than we may have expected. This is critical that we understand that we need each other. Right now, I'm in the middle of a crisis. And you know what's happening? I got people picking me up. Wouldn't you expect God's people to do that? Well, for you Roman people, Romans 12:1-21. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Wait a minute, do you notice that? We're going to go to worship. You know what? You don't go to worship. You didn't come to worship. If you wasn't worshiping before you came here, guess what? You're not doing it while you're here. Well, we've got to do the communion and all that. That's not worship. That's a memory. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, as your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve God's will, His good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment and accordance with the faith of God distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many form a body, each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with the faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then encourage. If it's giving, give it generously. If it's to lead, do it with dignity. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. That would be me. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, You'll heap coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do you know that's what God's calling us to do? God's calling us to be something more than we've ever been. We're going to cut today right here, and we're going to pick up right here, and we may do this for two or three Sundays, okay? Y'all good with that? Anybody bored yet? Let me tell you what. Every time in almost 40 years I've been here, I have never been blessed to be among such a group of people. I'm telling you this straight up. You've been good to me, and I hope I've been good to you. I've taught many things from this pulpit and these classes. None of it comes up to what God has raised up in you. And I would have you to know, don't you fuss at yourself, even when you mess up, because God's listening to that, and He knows how to fix it. Let's pray. Father, you give us such good things. You help us when we hurt. You help us when we lose our direction. You take us down a notch or two when we get uppity. And you fill us in when we're empty. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for being in love with us so that we can know that we are your chosen people. And we know that you, just like many others who have traveled over centuries, have done. We love you, we thank you, and we adore you. In Christ's name, amen.